us cowboys have.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. We are at the Alabama State House here broadcasting. We will, we've got a loaded show here throughout the day full of lawmakers. But joining us now, excited, first time on the program, I guess kind of been watching from afar. You come in from Auburn, a seat that had a little bumpy road before you. But now, Rules Committee Chairman, the State Representative Joe Lovern with us. So, Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Yeah, well, before we get into the nitty-gritty of politics, and I say let's talk about Auburn, I don't mean let's talk football or whatever, but it's always a place you go back, and, I mean, the campus is one thing, but college campuses right now are really, you know, all over the country, really growing and growing. But Auburn, the Opelika Auburn area, I mean, there's a lot going on there economically that your folks ought to be proud of.
Well, I tell you, when there's a general conversation about things going in Lee County, Auburn specifically, the common word we say is we're blessed. We have a lot of positive things going, great school systems, a vibrant, positive atmosphere with our university, economic development, you know, a lot of just opportunity for whether it's families looking for jobs or just looking for entertainment and great quality of life. And we have all types of statistics that you see in writings and awards winning for just the quality of life in Auburn. But one that happened a couple of years ago that makes me happy is Auburn students are the happiest students in the country. And if you're walking around smiling and enjoying your day, it fixes a lot of problems in our community. So we have a great relationship between the town and the university, and it certainly makes for positive on both sides.
I was talking to my previous guest, Tiffany Knoll. We were talking about how we would probably still be living in Auburn if we could, but you know, you basically grow up and move on with your life. But it is a really, really cool place outside of just the college part of it.
Sure, it's a whole nother life there. And now it's an expensive place to live, and you have to work and earn your spot there. I've been trying to earn my keep ever since I moved there in 1994 for college. And it is really worth the investment. Just the community. We're known as the loveliest village on the plains, and we've grown so much. I tell people it's the loveliest villages. We have separate little villages throughout the town, but people generally enjoy their atmosphere, enjoy the schools that their kids are in and their jobs. And it's just a wonderful place that I'm humbled and honored to represent.
Yeah. And one more point on that, and you find this to be the case. A lot of people that work in this town, in the government or in, you know, anything associated with it, they live in Auburn because of the schools. Just commute that, you know, 45 minutes or whatever back and forth every day.
Well, I'm a testament too. I serve in legislatures and I drive back and forth every day. I could, by the time I get to a hotel and checked in, I could be in my living room and
not hold up at the red carpet inn here.
Right. So I can be home with my family or meeting with my constituents. And, it's amazing how many 43 tags I follow along with in the mornings and go along with in the evenings, heading back to Lee County. It's, a lot of people just realizing living there and having that constant quality of life for their family, they can drive an hour or so to work and still have the best of all worlds.
Well, joined by State Representative Joe Lovern here on the program. Well, let's get right into it here. I got to say this, Representative, and I know, you know, Speaker McCutcheon had his own leadership style and it was a different time. But under Speaker Ledbetter, I mean, things hit the mark. Like, you're starting gaveling in. And I know, like, last year, a lot of it was just getting people acclimated. And a lot of the freshman members, and there's still some of them are getting acclimated to it. But this is it's kind of fascinating how different it is, because you're getting through some calendars. You're, like, really getting more done under Speaker Ledbetter.
Well, served under both speakers and both amazing men, great leaders, and of course they did have their very own styles, and both of them wouldn't shy away from an issue and making things that are important a priority for the state to be a priority of them. And With Speaker Ledbetter specifically, he's not a can kicker. He's going to pick up a can he can to try to find a fix. He's going to look a straight issue in the face, a tough issue that is not going to take the easy way out. And we've got a great leadership team that surrounds him to try to bounce off all ideas. We don't always agree, and that's a good thing. But we all come from the perspective of what's best for the future of our state. And it's been a heavy lift with some of the things we've taken on, but some things that need to be talked about and addressed. And Speaker Ledbetter is not afraid to do that. And it's refreshing because that's what we need to do. It's unfortunate in D.C. where we don't seem to be getting anything done. But in Montgomery, we're trying to move the needle. And it's been refreshing and enjoyed it. In both forms, and you know, with McCutcheon's skills as a hostage negotiator and Ledbetter's personality, it's just great to work under both of them to see how each of them work.
Yeah, because a lot of people talking, and they don't sit and watch the live stream or what goes on in the House, but in their mind, it's probably like it is in Washington D.C. It's not like that at all in the Alabama State House.
It's not. We have one pleasant surprise I had when I was elected. I came in at a time where there was a little turmoil, especially around my seat, and I didn't know what to expect. But the biggest surprise I've had is the high quality of people you're serving with. And that means not just the elected members, but the advocates. Now, they, just like anything, you'll have people that you don't necessarily want to deal with, but they stand out and they're not tolerated around in our current environment. But you're right, bipartisan conversations. We may go in there and vote differently, but conversations are being had. There's a mutual respect from where we come from. And just like in your towns across our state where people may disagree, but they're friendly and open and wave at each other on country roads, it's the same way in the State House. It certainly is a mark of our communities throughout our state, represented right here in this building.
Well, and let's talk about your role, rules chairman. I mean, that's a big deal, guys. You handle the calendar. That is like a big, big duty. It's the discretion of the rules chairman, and you know, everybody has their own style with that. But walk us through that. What's that been like? You're a year and a half or so into it. And really, did you ever anticipate this kind of a role when you got it here to Montgomery?
Well, when I got elected, I spent a lot of time listening and watching, and I noticed that there was 10 to 20 men and women that really worked to try to move the machine of government along. And I tried to work to support those members and in hopes of one day have an opportunity to serve in a role to where I could help with that process. And to have the support of the speaker to trust me with the role of rules chairman, I'm certainly humbled to be in and have a wonderful committee to help with that process. And just a little bit about that process for people that may not know, bills that come out of committee that pass, given a favorable report to be put forward to the entire body of the legislature, then go to the rules committee for consideration. And I look at it as it's a funnel for those bills with three filters. I work at the intersection of policy, procedure, and politics. And you can imagine which one of those three I spend most of the time dealing with. But, does it meet the procedures we have in place? Is it good policy for the taxpayers and citizens of the state? And then at the end of the day, the politics of it, navigating through that, working. I did not realize how much, when I accept this role, I'd be working with the Senate. So working with Senator Jabbo Wagner and working with the pro tem and just working through as we try to move together as bodies and navigating that process and truly being another stopgap to help protect the speaker, protect the members, and protect the people of Alabama. Just another look at the bills, and I enjoy the process, and it's been a great experience so far.
Well, and you talk about working alongside the Senate. I mean, like, you guys, well, you may not come to a consensus on a particular bill, it's just when you open the doors and when you gavel in and what days and all of that, like there has to be some kind of cooperation, right?
There has to be, and we need to move together because we start with the basis of the budgets. That's our only real requirement to be here is to get the budgets moved along, pass a balanced budget for the taxpayers of the state, and then legislation that aligns with it. We have some renewals of bills that will sunset that we have to get done, and then we get into other issues that have come apart that are passion for our members and for their constituents to get passed. So we do have to work in unison, and there's a time where we don't work in unison, and that's okay too. That's why we have the two houses, and that's what makes us better. We sharpen one another and work bills back and forth. Sometimes there are complicated issues, and sometimes that takes a little longer. I always joke a bad bill may pass in 3 weeks, but a good bill sometimes takes 3 years. And usually when the time's put in by both houses, and we usually end up with a good product once we've had that exposure and had that tough discussions that go along with it.
I mean, you got to bat it back and forth, right? And then to get to where you need to be. And that's part of it. And then sometimes just because you're constrained by constitutional like time limits, you just, some things get left off. Like you are working on a deadline sort of.
We are. We could meet 30 days and out of 105, and once that clock starts ticking, and we're inching along through this session with the 11th legislative day, and we're moving very fast, but we had some heavy lifts at the beginning of the session that will roll into a little more smoother operations, I feel, as we go forward. I think in the past they may have had smoother flow at the front and then run into backlogs along the back. We'll have issues towards the end of the session, as anyone would expect. But for the most part, the budgets are on track. Everything seems to be moving as quickly as possible. And, you know, one thing that we have to do is information. We're flooded with information, and you and the guys in the media, y'all get information, and we have to just funnel through what is factual and what works and what is best for the people of Alabama. And sometimes you have to dig in a little bit to get those facts to you.
Well, and let's talk about just some of the issues and you know, shepherding these things through. I assume you got to be kind of on the same program with the speaker, and y'all kind of work together on these things. But you have some heavy lifts this session. Obviously, the elusive gambling issue. I've been dealing with it my entire life.
Sure.
You know, take a shot at ethics. That's always a third rail. I mean, that always draws people, you know, with their concerns. And the school choice bill that y'all got through yesterday, I mean, it's going to have its detractors and people in the hallways who don't want to see that. But, like, you got to make sure that these all get their hearing and they all get their time on the floor. And it's tough, right? Because you got to schedule this and you know these things are going to consume a lot of the clock, right?
Sure. I, in my role, I coordinate with the speaker. We look at what's the best timeline to not put too much pressure on the members, give time for people to review and gather that information we were just talking about to get the facts they need, and not have too much on one legislative day to where people can't take the time to make the best decision for the people they represent. And, you know, school choice, I feel like that was a hard subject for a lot of members, me included. I live in Auburn, Alabama. I have kids that go to public school, raised by a teacher, married a teacher. Public school is important, but I do realize that not everybody is able to live in Auburn, Alabama. So we need to look at all solutions and what works for all of Alabama.
Well, talk about that, because this is an interesting thing, because I live in Baldwin County. Fairhope and Daphne have pretty good schools. And what occurs to me, Representative, is, you know, people that represent these areas or good schools are the ones that are kind of, yeah, we need to do something as a state. And it's the lawmakers, these Democrat lawmakers, where it seems like they really need help to kind of push back against it. It's interesting. Like, you're good with your public schools in Auburn. And you know, is it really going to change things in your community? Probably not. But you're trying to throw a lifeline, and I guess some of these other school systems are even their elected representation down here don't want any part of it.
Well, we love our public school system in this state, and there's areas like Auburn and then Baldwin County and Mountain Brook area and around Madison that is working great. In other areas, you got great teachers, great administrators, great students, but there's just not that opportunity out there that in their communities, or not the opportunity in their homes that are offered in some of these other areas that make a pathway for all those components for our children to be successful. And bipartisan, like, we want to protect our teachers. We value them. We're still funding raises when we can for them, any new programs we can to move the needle in public education. But some component in some schools where enough is not enough, and we have to ask ourselves, do we offer an alternative? And putting a little money towards looking at that to see if that can be a successful path for some kids, to me, was worth it. So let's look at it, and you know, it's education is one of those. It's not one thing. It's a lot of things. It's all things. And this may be a pathway to help some people, and some areas people may not want to take advantage of it.
Well, it's just the difficulties of a one-size-fits-all thing sometimes.
Sure.
Right? Representative, we're out of time, but I do appreciate you coming by and appreciate getting to know you. And let's talk again soon.
Let's do it. Thanks for having me, Joe.
State Representative Joe Lovern there. We got to get a break in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Walk away from trouble if you can. It won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.